Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents six. The Drive with the Top Six at six.
How about six? Six is good.
Story one.
Porter long range. A deep three by MPJ.
Inside Millsap with the mill slap. Millsap sets for three. Got it! Pass back to
The Nuggets are absolutely rolling. They won again. They won in convincing fashion. They're hosting the Spurs. Back-to-back game with the Spurs over the next couple days. Tyler, will Jokic win the MVP?
Yes, I think he will. He is deserving of the MVP at this point. I know there are still a lot of national guys that do not have him as the front runner, but when it's all said and done, the Nuggets are going to go on a run here. And when they go on a run and Nikola Jokic continues to do what he's doing, he does it through the playoffs, there is going to be nobody that can second guess. This guy is the most valuable player in the NBA right now. I think this is the year, and it's going to be awesome to see what is the trickle-down effect from Nikola Jokic winning the MVP, and how does that change NBA players' viewpoints of Denver as a destination and free agency? So I think it's going to be awesome, and I do think this is the year.
Ring of Kevin.
Real quick, just yes or no, does he win it?
Yeah, he wins it.
Okay, I love it.
He wins it, yeah.
All right, we've got a list of guys that have accepted an invite to attend the NFL draft. I'm going to give you a list of names here, and then I want you to tell me who's going to be that guy that is sitting in that green room for 2 days and is regretting his decision to go. All right.
Well, this is going to be tricky because I don't know really the back end projections of the draft. But
all right, well, fair enough. If a name pops out, a name pops out. If not, no worries. Whatever. You got Alabama DT, Christian Barmore. You got LSU wide receiver Jamar Chase.
No.
You got Caleb Farley, cornerback. You got Mac Jones has accepted an invite.
Right.
By the way, Lawrence is not going to the draft.
Oh, really?
He's going to be at Clemson having his own little party there.
Oh, good for him.
Trey Lance is going. Micah Parsons is going. Kyle Pitts is going. Devonta Smith is going.
Yeah.
Patrick Surtain is going.
Yeah.
And Gregory Rousseau is going. Any name pop out to you?
No. What was the first guy you said?
Christian Barmore.
Boy, I'm... Why do I know that name?
Defensive tackle for Alabama.
No, he's going too. They're all going. They're all going. Those guys are slam dunks. All of them in the first round.
All right, you gotta pick one guy. Which one guy is at risk?
I'll say the riskiest guy would be Farley. Only because he didn't play last year, but he's kind of a freaky athlete. He's probably going to go too.
All right, just for fun, I'm going to say Mac Jones.
Mac Jones.
I think he's going number three overall. But I do think that there is an outside chance that he could slip for a while. Do I think he's going three? Yeah, I do. If he doesn't go number three, I think there's an outside chance he slips to like 15, 16, somewhere in that ballpark. You're not waiting too long at that point. But
bring in Kevin. Hey, we got a Sports NATO tonight in Denver. You got to make a choice. You're on a desert island. And you do have DirecTV. You don't have Comcast. But you only have one channel on that DirecTV. And you can watch the Avalanche, the Nuggets, or the Rockies, who are all going to be playing at the same time, starting at 7 o'clock. What do you pick?
That's a tough one. I can only pick one between the Nuggets and the Avalanche.
You're on a deserted island with only DirecTV.
Right, and my only options are the Nuggets or the Avalanche.
And the Rockies.
Yeah, so I'm choosing between the Nuggets and the Avalanche.
You've narrowed it down. Okay.
That's a really tough choice. Okay. I'm choosing the Nuggets because of the new look with Gordon and everything else. There's just the newness going on with the Nuggets. It's fresh. I want to watch them.
All right.
You're choosing the Rockies.
Well, I've got Comcast. Ring it, Kevin.
All right, so earlier today I put out a tweet and I said, if you're a Sandlot hater, you should do some deep self-reflection on how things got this way for yourself.
Right.
In other words, something's wrong with you if you're a Sandlot hater.
Right.
This is just hilarious to me because within 2 seconds, the very first person to respond is none other than James Mirabeau.
What did James, James say?
He just puts up a little thinking face, but I'd already seen his previous tweets where he was hating on the Sandlot.
Yeah.
So he puts up a thinking face. Funniest tweet of the day. No story, no question here.
No, other I than thought,
just funniest, I... funniest tweet of the day comes from T.G. Burt, whoever this guy is. Tyler said hater, and James swings in like, say no more, fam.
That's great.
I thought that was something.
That's great. You know,
congratulations on being in the same territory as James Merrill.
We brought this up earlier, and I'm not a big fan of The Sandlot. I like other kid baseball movies. I do. I like the one where the kid owns the Twins. I like that one. I like the Angels in the Outfield one. I love the Bad News Bears, the original. And the remake is okay. But the original with Walter Matthau is one of my favorites. So it's not like I'm against kid baseball movies. And I love baseball movies in general. Field of Dreams, The Eight Man Out. A terrible one is the one where John Goodman played Babe Ruth. That's a terrible baseball movie. But that being said, I love baseball movies. The Sandlot, to me, just falls flat. There's some funny lines in it. But, like, I just don't think it's a great movie.
Well, not even remotely surprised by this, because number one, you play ball like a girl. I'm confident on it.
Wow.
And number two, you probably didn't have any neighborhood friends to go play baseball with. So you got animosity towards the movie.
Boy, you're taking some swings on my next-door neighbor, Jay McGilvery, and I, who had 10,000 wiffle ball games in the backyard.
But I guarantee that you play ball like a girl.
Okay, I get it. You're killing me, Smalls. Ring it, Kevin.
Yeah. It's from the movie. Relax, everyone.
No, I understand. All right, Tyler, explain. Kevin, you may have to pot down the music. I'm not sure, but explain this.
You know, from a speed perspective, and I was just told by our Brandel Chamblee that he has hit 140. I was not aware that 140 mile an hour swing speed. He did that at the Arnold Palmer Invitational earlier this year, and 211 ball speed. And if I was VJ Rolfe, I'd sit there and watch that just for giggles, too.
There's not a lot of talking going on. You know, he's hit more balls in the last minute than Fred Couples did in an hour out there. All Freddie did was basically wander around and talk to people.
This is a drill for speed. As quickly as he's hitting for Bryson, it's fun to watch. I mean, I'd be in traction in a hospital if I tried this, without a doubt.
Bryson DeChambeau looked like a maniac, and Vijay Singh is just standing there, laughing. Everybody's laughing. He looked like a lunatic hitting golf balls. What are we missing here?
I just love watching Vijay Singh. He's the best part of this entire video. I also respect what Richie had to say about it, that there's nothing you can say to convince me that Bryson DeChambeau doesn't just look like an idiot out there on the driving range. Do I respect it? Yeah. Am I rooting for him? I want him to win the dang Masters. I think it'd be an awesome story. But he looks like an idiot on the driving range. I mean, that is just insane. The crazy part about it, D-Mac, is that that's really not a drill. Despite what the announcers are talking about there, that's how he swings. That's his driver's swing.
Yeah, but
swing.
They were talking that's about how fast he was hitting the balls in rapid succession, like one after another,
Yeah, that's just because he's a meathead. That's just what he does. I mean, he did you see the way he's catching the ball?
Yes,
he's catching the ball
angrily,
as aggressively as he possibly can.
Right.
He's trying to look like he's a football player out there golfing. I just second what Richie said. He looks like an idiot.
Ring it.
There it is. There it is. It took a second, but it came. All right, you've been on this little kick about how the national media is just disrespecting the Broncos and how nobody even respects the Broncos to discuss them when quarterbacks pop up.
That's true.
And the
barely,
big picture conversations,
yeah.
Right?
Yes.
Well, I saw this article on NFL.com that was seven potential day one trades that make sense. I clicked on it because I was curious if the Broncos would even be in this list.
Okay.
Do you think the Broncos made the cut of seven potential
trades? Of course not. No. I guarantee you they haven't. I can tell you who probably is.
Oh, go for it.
Patriots, Steelers, Panthers, Falcons, I don't know. How many other teams like, how am I doing so far?
I mean, you've been wrong on so many so far. I'm already losing track.
Really?
Actually, you know what? It was a trick question. I set you up. The very first trade that they have on here is the Denver Broncos. It's the Broncos moving up to number 8, one spot with the Carolina Panthers to go get, who is their guy? To go get Justin Fields, I think.
Wow. Okay. Well, that sounds cool to me.
Yeah. I mean, I respect it. I don't quite understand why you would wait to 8 at that point. It feels like 7 would be the magic number. But, okay, if you get to 7 or 8, I think we all would agree, D-Mac, right, that let's get aggressive and let's go.
You know what? Ring in Kevin, and let's talk about that for a second. In just 2 minutes, we have Adrian Dater to preview tonight's Avalanche game. That's a fascinating scenario because how many teams – now, here's the big question. If Justin Fields is still on the board, how many teams behind the Broncos, Tyler, do you think would be interested in Justin Fields? Meaning, who else is calling up the Panthers to get ahead of the Broncos?
Okay, so I think the logical team is the Patriots.
Right,
they're the most obvious.
Right.
Wild card is the Washington football team.
Two, okay.
And then the Saints are the third wild card team.
Do you think the Steelers are thinking about this at all?
Probably not, but I guess you could talk me into being convinced that they'd be in that ballpark. I guess my gut is that no. You're sitting at 24.
Right.
They've still got Ben Roethlisberger for another year here. The Saints feel a little bit more desperate because they don't have Drew Brees this year. And my gut would say that moving from 24 all the way up is going to be too much when you've got another year of Big Ben.
Right. That, when I was watching some football stuff this morning, the speculation was a sixth quarterback going in the first round, which would, I mean, that to me, that's a nightmare. Trask. They were talking about Trask to the Steelers. And the reason why this was the conversation earlier was, listen, if you're going to take a quarterback anyway, if you're going to do it, don't wait to the second round because financially it's going to help you or it could help you to have that fifth year option. And that was the discussion. And that's the situation the Steelers may be in. Saints may be in that situation too, by the way.
Yeah, for sure.
But then the other crazy conversation that was going on.
I guess I would just default towards, do you really think that the sixth guy is going to be worth that investment at that point?
I don't. I definitely don't.
So although I agree that fundamentally the fifth round option is very, very valuable with the quarterback, all right. Is that worth over-selecting the guy that you don't have any belief in? Probably not.
To me, no. In a million years, no. But again, if you're the Steelers, you're in a kind of a tough spot. Like, how much do you believe in Ben? How long does he really have? Where is this really going? And the Steelers had a great season before everything imploded last year and just ended up in a spot they weren't close to winning the Super Bowl. Not really, at the end of the day. And just we're in a spot where it's just no man's land. Forget the quarterback.
Steelers are in a terrible spot.
Terrible.
Absolutely terrible. I couldn't agree anymore. I mean, what are you going to do? You've got Big Ben. That's enough to justify not moving up,
right.
Making any crazy decision and sitting there at 24. Nobody's going to be on the board that's worthy of selecting. And then you're going to be there next year, probably had a reasonable year because Ben Roethlisberger was your quarterback. And, you know, you probably won 9-10 games somewhere in that ballpark. And you're going to be sitting there in no man's land when you really need one.
Yep, you're in a tough spot.
For sure.
You know
what the Steelers are going to have to do. They're going to have to become the next Indianapolis Colts. That's what they're going to have to do.
How so?
Well, you got to be the team that's now trading for the best available quarterback.
Right.
Because you're not going to be able to draft anybody. You're going to have a pretty good roster. You've got a great coach.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good organization. You know that you're going to win 8 games at minimum.
Right.
And you're going to be in no man's land. So the only answer is to go out and trade for the best available quarterback.
Well, that leads me to something else. And Adrian, hang on. Be right with you. Give it just 1 second. The other thing that was going on was this Aaron Rodgers stuff. Man, oh man, this is percolating. This is still kind of living out there about how unsatisfied he is with the current situation. I thought things would get a little bit better, but it doesn't feel like it. And, hey, man, I get it. This is way, way, way out there. But does it exist in the realm of possibility that some team could offer something up this year, right now, and the Packers would move on from Aaron Rodgers and Rodgers would want out of there? Because every indication is that he doesn't want to be there anymore, that he's frustrated with the situation.
Oh, I think that Rodgers could want out for sure. I think it's entirely unrealistic to think that any team in their right mind would trade away last year's MVP.
I think it's insane, right?
Yeah.
It's just out there. That's all I'm saying. It's that conversation is still out there. That being said, hey, we want to preview tonight's Avs game, so let's go. Let's go, Adrian Dater. Our fan Avalanche Insider joins us courtesy of Bud Light, an official beer sponsor of the Colorado Avalanche. Adrian, how you doing?
Great, D-Max. Thanks for having me again.
Yeah. We're looking forward to tonight's game against the Wild. Where are we with this rivalry, do you think, between the Avs and the Wild?
I hate the Wild. I still hate the Wild. Don't
right.
you?
I mean, it's still pretty nasty. especially if my mentions are going to be brought into it. Wild fans are a little ornery. You know, you say anything about them, and, you know, their fans go bananas. So the block button has been used liberally lately for me. But, you know, it's weird. It's always been a good rivalry, and nobody expected it to be much of anything this year, though, because I thought the Wild were going to be, you know, distinctly a non-playoff team. But here they are. They're probably pretty much guaranteed to make the top four. They could play the Avs in the first round. So it's heated. I mean, I don't think the players like each other much on the teams at all. There was a fight the other night that was certainly got a lot of attention. That was a guy in his first game of his career, Kyle Burrows. A TKO'd 6'6" guy. And that guy for the Wild was not playing tonight because of upper body possible concussion symptoms.
Wait, what was that cough for?
What was that cough? Yeah, we all know what that cough means.
What did that mean?
Well, I'm trying to play it diplomatically here. Nobody wants to see guys hurt. I don't want to go down that path, but there was a fight the other night that the Wild guy started, and yet the Wild fans were sort of upset that the fight happened at all. They actually accused the Avs guy of starting it when the tape clearly shows it's the opposite.
Mm. All right, Adrian, well, this is the last time in the regular season that the Avs will face off against the Wild. What are you looking for as the Avs just look to continue this incredible scoring streak that they're on, this winning streak? What are you looking for in tonight's matchup?
Well, this will be the last game between the teams. So the Avs want to win it. It's going to be the same lineup the Avs had the other night. That means Philip Grubauer in goal. The Wild are going to get Zach Parise back, the guy who signed a 13-year, $98 million contract about 9 years ago. He's been a healthy scratch at times this year, so that his career has not gone the way that people thought in Minnesota. But listen, the point streak is now at 15 games. It doesn't feel like the Avs are ever going to lose again, but this is the NHL. I expect a tough game tonight. I expect the Wild to play a little angry, maybe. I do expect the Avs probably should keep their heads up a little bit. I expect things to get rough tonight. Let's see what happens. It's going to be fun.
On this winning streak, and they've won five in a row, but the last three that they've won have all been by one goal. Okay, what's the difference been, Adrian?
Well, they've been getting out the good starts. It's always easier to play with a lead, that's always key for this team. They're coming out fast. They did give up the first goal the other night, though, but they blitzed them in the second period. The key, has been... The first line is on fire. Nathan MacKinnon is back being on fire. Gabe Landeskog is having a tremendous season, and so is Mikko Rantanen. So the number one line is just killing teams. Then you look at that third line, the suddenly have found a lot of chemistry. Tyson Jones finally seems to have found the right spot on this team as a third line center. Valerie Nichushkin and Jonas Donskoy are the other guys on that line. And it's been a dominant line, especially when you count the little metrics in hockey like puck possession and stuff like that. They play with the puck all the time. So it's been 1 through 19, and also the defense has been just tremendous. They lead the league in fewest shots against, fewest goals against. And, they're even missing a couple defensemen, too, who figured should make the team better at some point. Eric Johnson remains out long-term. But, you know, Bo Byram's going to be back in the lineup probably any day now. So this team is stacked, guys.
Well, Adrian, they're playing so good right now, and obviously they've got a ways to go before a playoffs get rolling here. But it feels to me like whenever I was on a team that was playing that well, there's always a little bit of a concern about complacency. Have you seen any concerns in those regards, or do you think that they're just going to continue to get better and better here?
I haven't seen any complacency right now. That was a common problem for the Avs the last few years. They sort of got a little too self-satisfied, I always thought, after some success. But it seems like they just want to go out and play like robots every night the same way. They look like they're enjoying themselves. They, you know they're going to win. And when you know you're going to win, I'm sure as a player, it's everything's just fun. So that's the way they look right now. They look like they're having fun. There's a long way to go. But I don't think they'll get complacent either, though, because Vegas Golden Knights are still right on their heels. I think that team is going to still, you know, be very tough to beat. The Avs are going to play Vegas at the end of the month in Vegas. I'll be there. Hopefully, the ban on the casino ban that they have on me down there will lift. Maybe.
they got you on the facial recognition.
Well, yeah, you know, I take them for so much money every time I'm there, so I'm quite a gambler. I'm looking forward to it, but I think it's going to be, I think the Avs are going to take this division. I really do. I think they're going to win the division. I think they're going to go in number one seed in the playoffs.
Adrian, we'll read all about it at ColoradoHockeyNow.com. The game, they dropped the puck at the top of the hour against the Wild, and we appreciate it. We'll talk to you soon.
I appreciate it, guys. Thank you.
Adrian Dater, courtesy of Bud Light, an official beer sponsor of the Avs. Well, we do have a great night of sports here, and we'll preview all that action coming up next right here on The Drive.
Does your company make safety a top priority? Alliance Safety, Colorado's premier supplier of safety equipment, is here to help make it one. As an authorized distributor of 3M safety products and home to all pro gear, Alliance has a vast inventory of personal protective equipment designed to keep your workers safe, including fall protection, safety glasses, protective gloves, and gas detection solutions. Visit AllianceSafetyInc.net, call 303-388-8766, or stop by the Alliance Safety Warehouse off I-70 and Tower today to lock up all your safety needs.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive. Here's Tyler Palumbus and D-Mac.
Hi, Tyler. We have a cool sports night. Mini sports NATO. Probably as close as we're going to get tonight with the Avs taking on the Wild at 7 at the top of the hour, and the Nuggets getting going with the Spurs at Ball Arena. The Rockies in just a few minutes, first pitch against the Diamondbacks. How, you got a wife and three kids. How exactly do you consume sports on a night like tonight?
You know, I usually do not catch it all, that's for sure. Avalanche and Nuggets are so fun to follow right now. I wish that I could see them more than we do. Joking aside, they're an absolute blast just to check the updates, see what's happening, see the box scores. And I do follow the box scores on a nightly basis. So, I'm always in touch with what's going on there with the Nuggets and Avs. Unfortunately, we don't always get to see them. You know me, I'm not all into the Rockies right now. I'm kind of on my own little personal protest of them. So that part of it doesn't mean too much to me. But I love the fact that we've got highly competitive sports in Denver right now. I mean, this is we're like Boston. It's awesome.
Yeah, I usually I'm watching something on my phone.
if I'm in the kitchen, because usually we're having dinner and the TV's on the Rockies game. And then on the DVR downstairs, I can roll on two things at the same time. But it's, you know, it's funny because sometimes people say, oh, why aren't you watching this? You can watch it all, man. You can watch it all if you know how to master the right sort of technology. Even during the Rockies game last night, I had the Arizona State Arizona game going. There was a cool Cherry Creek moment in that game last night. We had Jack Moss, who's just incredible for ASU, hit his first college home run, and he happened to hit it to left field over Tanner Otremba's head, another superstar from Cherry Creek, who now was at Texas Tech, and now he's at Arizona. And
it
was
I don't know how to feel about that. You know, brewing on brewing crime there.
It was brewing on brewing crime.
I guess that was a good thing that they're both out there, so we'll go with that.
No, it was fabulous, and a testament to Coach Johnson at Cherry Creek Slammers Baseball, where both those guys played, and just Colorado baseball in general. So it was just cool. It was a fun moment to watch that. And, you know, I get it. You're on your own protest of the Rockies game. So, but it was an exciting game. I mean, you know, if you could get over your
I'm really not on a protest. I just don't have any vested interest in them. Guess what? They suck. They still suck. And they continue to suck. They're doing exactly what I thought they were going to do. So, why would I go out of my way to watch a Rockies game right now?
I mean, is Ryan McMahon hitting three home runs and an RBI double sucking? Is that
how's that working out in the record?
It didn't work out last night, but it was fun to watch. It was
good for him. Cool. Isn't that what you always say? How to work out for the Colts if they drafted Quentin Nelson? How's that go for their overall record?
All right, hold on a second. I get it. There's a difference between a philosophy of building a winning team and just an exciting game. So, and I understand if the game's not very interesting, you're not paying attention. But seriously, if the game is close, going into the seventh, eighth, ninth inning, still not interested, huh? Still don't care.
No, I'm not at all interested in the Rockies right now. I don't like what they did in the offseason. I was mad at them going into the season. So right now, they've started off the exact way that I thought they would. Hey, man, they would have to start out the season like 5-0 to get me captured right now. And unfortunately, they've gone in the exact direction that I thought that they would.
Right, so fair enough, because
I'm not there, buddy.
I'm sure there's plenty of people that feel the same way. So let me ask you this. What could they do? I feel like I'm selling a used car. What could I do to get you in this Subaru from 1997?
Well, they'd have to go on one hell of a run. I mean, go win four or five straight games, and maybe then I'll start to pay attention.
All right, but nothing would have changed in terms of their structure, their decisions, all that. But winning a little bit would help.
Yeah, at least I would feel like I've got a reason to turn on the game and spend 3 hours watching it and feel like there's some sort of hope for where's this outcome going to head, right? And if you go on some sort of winning streak, well, then I'll have some sort of hope that I'm investing 3 hours in a product that maybe is leading towards some sort of postseason hope. But no, I'm not going to invest 3 hours out of my night every single night watching the Rockies when I know that they're going nowhere.
I'm not going to lie. I felt a little let down last night because I was vested into it. I was so into it. And I forgot, I had totally forgot in extra innings they're doing the California tiebreaker, starting a runner on second with no out.
Oh, right.
Totally forgot they're doing that again because I got rid of the DH thing for the National League, which is dumb. But that makes extra innings so much more exciting. And there were runs scored in every, I know the game went, 13, but there were runs scored in every extra inning. Like, there was excitement in every single extra inning last night until they, you know, lost. But so let me ask you this then. So you're probably not interested in the All-Star game then, huh?
No, I definitely am interested in the All-Star game. That's way different. I think that Major League Baseball does as good of a job. Actually, they do a better job than any professional sporting league with their All-Star game. I feel like the players have actually got a vested interest in what they're doing. Love the home run derby. For sure, without a doubt, I'm going to have interest. I'm going to do everything in my power to be there.
How much money would you be willing to spend to go to some of that All-Star stuff?
Well, you know, D-Mac, I'm kind of a big deal, so I prefer to go find the connection route. That's generally the route that I try to take.
Okay, all right.
You know, I mean, I don't know about you, but that's the type of route that I usually go for.
Oh, no. I mean, don't get me wrong. I've been known to go gratis on a few events. I just don't know. I just don't have a connection like that for something like that. I'm going to have to dig into my pocket. For that one.
You know, I'll probably call up Mark Schlereth or something. He's probably got a connection.
Right. Your lunch pal, Mark Schlereth.
That's right.
Your buddy. Your pal.
You had your dinner yet with him? No? He still hasn't taken you up on that?
He has a free steak waiting for him anytime he wants.
And all he has to do is hang out with you.
All he has to do is hang out. You know what? He doesn't even have to hang out. I offered that, by the way. I said, I'll just drop it off at your house if you don't want to, you know, hang out.
And yeah, why don't you just buy him a gift certificate? Let him go on a date night with his wife or something.
Well, I guess I could do that. I mean, if that's where he would rather go, I could certainly make that arrangement. I wouldn't be against that either. That's how low I am in his life. He won't even allow me to buy a gift certificate for him.
I don't know.
Wow. Trashing me about, I don't know what, they're just lost. They wouldn't move up. You're done too, right?
Hey, Mac, if I'm going to be honest, you definitely sound like the lost one right now.
No
giving
way.
Up five draft picks and one offseason for three different quarterbacks. Goodness, you want to talk about lost. I'm definitely on the morning show side on this one.
Well, what would you give up? just to recap. I'd give up a third and a fifth to move from 9 to 7. So there's two.
Yep.
I'd draft Kellen Mond. I guess, you know, that's three. And
well, you also got to give up number 9, right?
Well, you'd be switching picks, though.
Yeah, but I mean,
you go 9 to 7.
Okay, fair enough. All right, sure.
So that's two, and then Mond would be three. And,
right,
and then
you're giving up the fourth and the third for Teddy Bridgewater. So there's five.
Teddy Bridgewater, right.
Yeah. Five draft picks, one offseason, three quarterbacks. Can we play all three of them at one time?
That sounds like a lot, I suppose, at that point.
Yeah. Definitely on Team Morty Joe on this one.
All right. Well, so I'll give up. I'll just sign Alex Smith then, if that's too much. I'll just sign Alex Smith, and then I'll draft Justin Fields.
I feel better about that. Now, you can't draft Kellen Mond in the fourth. I don't feel okay about that.
No, I'd be keeping Drew Lock in that scenario.
Okay, all right. So now all you're doing is just moving up to go get Justin Fields.
Well, he's
now that's a respectable game plan.
Yeah, because there's priorities with everything, and getting Justin Fields is my number one priority. The rest of it is relative window dressing. And all right, I some of the picks may come from next year as well. It could be spread out. It's like the Jets.
I don't care.
The Jets with the Darnold stuff, it's not all this year.
You're still giving them up, buddy. Those are still your commodities. Those are your resources.
That won't matter.
Those are your draft picks.
We'll be kicking so much butt at that point. You know,
right.
We won't even care.
Yeah.
Well, I tell you, the conversation never gets old for me. I always love it. And we can always do quarterback talk anytime. but there is another huge event in the wonderful world of sports that's missing something significant. I want to review that with you. And Nick and Cecil up at the top of the hour. This is The Drive on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
You're listening to The Drive on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan. Here's Tyler Palumbus and D-Mac.
You know, I guess I sort of forgot that it is Masters Week. And I didn't forget at the same time.
Huh?
Like, no, I'm aware of
what?
It. But it seemed to sneak up on me just a little bit. But you know what I was watching today is a reflection of what the Masters is like without Tiger Woods participating.
Oh, right.
How are you feeling about the Masters with no Tiger at all? And this is not the first time. I think it's the fourth time that he's actually missed the Masters. But how do you feel about that?
Hey, golf is always better when Tiger Woods is involved. So I get that. I'm a huge fan of golf. I don't need Tiger Woods to feel emotionally invested in the Masters. But I certainly understand why a non-golf fan would need Tiger Woods to feel invested in the Masters. So, no doubt about it, the Masters will miss Tiger out there. I think that his story and what he's been through is going to be enough that it will still carry a little bit of Tiger weight throughout it, because you know they're going to be talking about Tiger all the time, and you know that the players will reflect on Tiger and his absence. So I think that he will still be a big part of the storyline of the week. But no doubt about it, golf is better with Tiger Woods involved.
Yeah, it's a bummer, man. And the way they were talking today, they were, some of the commentators were hopeful he could be back next year, that the recovery goes in that direction. And I'm just,
well, shoot, you never know with Tiger, do you?
Yeah. The Masters has had some warts on it over the years, but at the end of the day, I get it. I'm into it. I love it. I love watching it. I love the traditions, the par three contest. The, you know, they've actually changed the course a ton over the years. It's not just, it's at the same location.
Well, they do that often. I mean, that's a ongoing process. They're always changing that course.
I know. So it's always kind of a little bit different, and it's kind of presumptuous. You know, it's not just, you know, it's Rosebud, and then it's, Delilah, and, you know, like the holes have names to them, that sort of thing.
Yep.
And it was odd last year because you're so used to the color of the Masters with the flowers in bloom, and none of that was happening. It was just looked like a different course, and it was also weird without any spectators there, meaning you just, the holes just looked slightly different. I still was incredibly
impressed. It felt like the Masters when I was watching it. Yeah. I mean, the fact that there weren't spectators out there, it didn't mean anything to me as a fan.
You know, I guess I got to ask you again about Bryson DeChambeau in his warm up. what were we all? If you haven't seen it, it looks like one of the most insane things of all time, because he's rapidly hitting his driver as hard as it really does look like Happy Gilmore out there.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it was a fascinating video to watch. You've got Vijay Singh just standing there, arm over his driver, just watching every single hit that Bryson hits, and he's just flabbergasted by what's going on here. I mean, it seriously looked like you were watching a long drive competition. It looked like you were watching the dude that at my charity golf events that I've always put on, that I would hire to put on top of the most elevated tee box on the course, and you could pay him $20 to hit the long, a long tee ball for you, right?
Yeah.
That's what it looked like. That is who Bryson DeChambeau is, though, by the way. All you were watching was Bryson DeChambeau practicing his driver. That's it. Now, when he practices, he is a mad scientist, and he's got his devices out there, and they're measuring his club head speed. They're measuring the ball velocity. They're measuring how high he's hitting it, how low he's hitting it. They're measuring the spin on the ball, the rotation, all of it. And he checks it every time. But he swings as hard as he possibly can, and it is one of the most fascinating things you've ever seen.
Have you ever swung your golf club that hard?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
You
all
have.
The time, yes. Now, have I ever landed on the fairway doing that? No.
So you've just been on the range and just, I mean, literally as hard as
of
you
course.
Possibly could.
Absolutely. No doubt about it. Out there with the boys, let's see how far I can hit this thing. I could hit that house at the end of that range. What do you want to put on it?
I don't think I could hit the ball. Seriously. If I swung that hard, I would be stunned if I could even hit the ball. It takes a ridiculous amount of concentration for me just to hit the ball, period, never mind like that. But,
well, it's going to be fascinating to watch him.
Yeah.
You know, he is favored in this tournament right now. Him and Dustin Johnson are tied as the two favorites. Justin Thomas is right behind those two.
Mm-hmm.
And at the last Masters, DeChambeau was favored as well, and he kind of stunk it up. He had a ton of hype going into it, and he just did not perform well. So going to be a great storyline to follow. He's always fascinating, and I think that he's great for golf right now because he's bringing in a new angle and a new fascination, and you've got this 300-pound monster out there that, I mean, I know he's not 300 pounds, but he's enormous, who's just hitting bombs, and I think that he's bringing in a new level of attention to golf.
Well, I love it. Lots of chat about the NFL draft, which is going on. We've got the Avs and the Nuggets, who are both about to get underway. Rockies are playing the Diamondbacks as we speak. The Masters, of course, for us, Tyler, it's so great, right? Because it's in the middle of the day, and we can, like, just sit there and
love it,
watch the whole thing while everybody else is, you know, working.
You people working.
Right.
Why don't you talk about sports for a living,
exactly.
Suckers?
But to continue the ongoing conversation, we welcome Cecil and Nick, and the misadventures of the Nick and Cecil show begin next, right here on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.